God is so faithful. He's faithful right now. He's faithful to us. We've been in a series called How to Turn Your Faith Loose. We're getting close to wrapping this up, but we're going to spend at least tonight and maybe another time wrapping some things up. We'll see. But we go ahead and put up a few verses here. Romans 10, 9. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's with your heart that you believe, with your mouth that you confess. That's to say what we believe in our heart. We need to have faith in our heart. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? Just anything? Bible faith comes by hearing what God has said. You cannot believe past what the Word has said. We can't just make up things to believe. Just because we want something, just because we'd like things to be a certain way, that doesn't mean you can have faith for it. You can only have faith for what you hear, what God has said. Just like natural human faith, if you hear somebody tell you something, make a promise, now you can believe them. But you can't just make something up and say, well, I think Johnny ought to do such and such, and I'm going to believe for it. No, you can't do that. And we can't do it with God either. But when we hear His Word, we can believe. The faith comes into our heart. We'll have faith in our heart, but now we have to do something. We need to release it. One of the primary ways we release it is with our mouth. And so we want to do this, be doers of this Word. It's not enough just to believe. We need to release faith. Revelation 12, 11. Can you put that up real quick? Revelation 12, 11. Good. Thank you. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. They overcame him, talking about Satan, talking about the enemy. Notice, by the blood of the Lamb. Number one, we need to know what Jesus did. It's not by us. We're not going to take on the devil by ourselves. It's not by your moral muscle. It's not by your discipline. It's not by who you know and how mentally astute you are. It is by the blood of the Lamb. He did the heavy lifting. But notice, and by the word of their testimony. We need to speak and declare what victory Jesus has won. We are an occupying army. We are not fighting for the victory. Jesus has won the victory, but now we need to enforce it. Amen. We need to enforce what He's won, because even though He has won the victory, what we say is going to go in our lives. Just know what your neighbor said is not going to go. If they don't like you and they say nasty things about you, that's not what's going to go unless we believe them, unless we agree with them. But it doesn't matter who says what about you. It's what we say that matters and what we say that's going to go. And what we say is dependent on what we believe. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we've talked, we've covered a number of scriptures concerning this. Turn over one more time to James. You don't have to turn there, but can you put it up on the screen? James 1, 2. James 1, 2. Actually, that's not where I wanted to go. I have that on here, but can you put up James 3? I know I didn't give you that scripture. Although the other one's good too. But James 3, can you just bring up the chapter? Let's see, it's James 3. Yeah, just go to verse 2, please. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man or mature man, complete man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look at also at the ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. So we see here James is saying, just like a bit in the horse's mouth, just like the rudder on a ship, our mouth determines where we go. Our mouth determines our direction. What we believe in our heart needs to be released, needs to be spoken, needs to be acted on. We talked about right thinking, right believing, right saying, and we're focusing a lot on what we say because we need to let it out and say things, and that will change the atmosphere. And what we're going to get into tonight, it's so important that we release faith when we're facing a situation, especially when we've blown it. That's a time to be sure we're saying the right thing, because what we say is going to determine where we go. So we don't have time to recap everything we talked about actually the last 2 weeks. I think the last one only made it on the recording though. But we talked about, and we're focusing on right now, when we saying the right thing, if we sin, or, and we're going to get into tonight, if we make a mistake, and those are two different things, and we talked about that last week and the week before. Sin, when you violate light, when you violate your conscience, when you do something opposed to the Word of God, your conscience will bother you, your heart will bother you, and we need to deal with that. The way to deal with that is to ask God's forgiveness, repent of it, change direction. That cleanses your conscience. No, you didn't get born again. No, when you sin, you didn't fall away from the family of God. But you need to make it right. You need to give Satan no access, take care of it, and now go on. But then you need to say the right thing about that sin. You don't repeat it. You don't talk about how you missed it and talk about it. That will build defeat and failure into us. And we touched on that last time. And we went into just some aspects of, what sometimes people just can be overly legalistic, and they think every mistake is a sin, and then they get in this condemnation mentality. We're not going to go into that again, but there is a difference between just making a mistake, being human. That's not a bad confession. I mean, we're not planning on making mistakes, but we're not perfect either. But there's a difference between that and actually violating something that God has said and spoken to us in His Word, or violating the law of love. There's a difference. So we talked about sin. We need to repent of it. We need to say the right thing about it, and don't keep letting it out of our mouth how we missed it. What I want to get into tonight is, okay, so you didn't sin. You didn't do something that was technically against the Word of God. You made a mistake, but how many of you know those can be painful? It can be something like you just bought something new, whether it's an electronic device, whether, it could be a new piece of clothing. Let's say it was something you just bought, electronic device. Let's say you got a phone and you hadn't got a case yet. Hopefully this doesn't happen to anybody. And you walk out and you're like, I'm going to be real careful. I tried that once. Now I have a case again. But anyway, and you go and you drop it, and there it is, all messed up. That can be painful. I mean, something you say, well, that's not spiritual. Yeah, but it can bug you. If you let it, it can bug you for a while, especially if it's expensive. I remember one person talking about something. They had just got a new car or something, and they backed in and messed up their car. I mean, you can do stuff, and Satan, he'll push whatever button he can and tell you, I mean, how you're supposed to be led. Why did you do that? Why did you not know that was going to happen? You're supposed to be led. Why? Basically, if you fall into that, you're going to feel like you have to walk perfect. Now, I'm not saying we have to make a bunch of mistakes, but man, we're not perfect. And you could say you're learning something at work and trying to impress your manager. I'm not saying you're going out of the way, but we all want to do a good job, and I'm not saying in a bad way you're trying to impress them, but you're just trying to do a good job, and you say something that was like, that was dumb. I knew that. Wait a minute, the answer was over here, and you did it in a meeting room with 10 other people, and now you feel like everybody knows. They all think I'm ignorant now, and I know the answer, but now I can't say it. I can't defend myself, so you have to shut up and Why did I say that? And then you miss the rest of the half of the meeting because you're thinking about what you just said. Somebody asked you something, and now you don't know the answer to that either because you're thinking about the stupid thing you said before. So we need to learn, we need to know how to deal with these things biblically, and what we say about it is going to make a difference. How we act in faith, how we release our faith. We're not just talking about saying, but how we think, how we believe, how do we view failure? And, you know, sin is failure too, but we talked about aspects of that, and there's just certain things that are related here. Let's go ahead and turn over to Philippians. We'll look at a few scriptures there. Philippians, and we'll go to 3 first. Philippians 3:13. It says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I think if we just sat on that scripture the rest of the night, we would leave here in a better state. We could just stay right here. Not saying we're going to do that, but let's read it again. Verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are behind. You know, Paul had some things to forget. Paul wasn't always Paul, he was Saul. And Saul was responsible for having Christians persecuted and put to death. Put in prison, put to death. How many? No, don't raise your hand. But I doubt seriously anybody in here is responsible for other Christians being put to death. Talk about forgetting things. You think, well, you know, he was Paul. Well, he was human. You know, sometimes we read the Bible and the people in it, and we think they're at a different plane. They didn't deal with the same things we did. You know, that's like, you know, sometimes you read the stories and the accounts. They're not made up stories. The accounts in the Old Testament or even the New, but you know, especially in the Old. And you can think they know what's going to happen in their life. And they know the end of the story. They don't. They're walking it out just like you and just like I would have to. You know, David coming at Goliath, he doesn't know with intellectual knowledge that he's going to be able to take Goliath out. He doesn't know the end of the story. He's totally walking by faith. Amen. You know, we could go over the story after, or story, but you know, Joseph didn't see that he was, well, you know, just chill. You're going to be second in command pretty soon. It doesn't look like that. It looks like you're done. I mean, where is God? Think about where is God in your situation? You have done the right thing. You have done the right thing. You've been faithful. You get out of one mess and now you're in a worse mess and you're in prison. There's no hope for you. Well, people that we read about and that we read letters from, Paul was a human. And he had to forget just like you and I. And when he's saying these things, he's speaking from experience. He's not talking about something light either. Well, you don't know my past. Well, Paul had a past. He was responsible for murdering people. Christians, think about it. When he realized that, wait a minute, I thought they were wrong and they were right. He had to know what he's preaching about the righteousness of God because that could haunt you. So when he's talking about forgetting, he says, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching where? Forward. Forward. See, if we're looking behind, we're going to trip. Just like what we were talking about the meeting. Oh my gosh. I mean, it's tempting when you make one mistake to stay there, but the problem is you're set up to make another one really quick because you're not focused. We're looking at the wrong thing. We can miss the life now. Well, I'm in such regret for what I did before and should have done that better, that we're missing the people around us now. We're so concerned about what happened at work that at dinner, we don't even see the people across the table. They may be saying something, but we may mumble something, but we're not there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You can go through the whole night where you're there physically, but your mind is occupied. A good portion of it is occupied with what happened. Why did I do that? Or it could be, and it, this could go on day after day. Well, we need to know that we can forget the things that are behind. We reach forward to those things that are ahead. Go ahead, next verse. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. We need to say what God says about us even when we blow it. And this is not easy, but it can be done. When we miss it, your flesh, my flesh, wants to talk about it, wants to rehearse it, wants to try to go back. The thing is, we can't turn back the clock. We can't go back. We can't change it. And it's painful sometimes when you know, it was just, especially if it's right in front of you, and it's like, you just want to rewind and go this way instead of this way. The problem is, we can't. So what are we doing when we're expending that emotional energy? And make no mistake, we are expending emotional energy when we do that. What does that do? Drains us for now. Tell me, is there any good that we're doing in our situation right now with regretting what we've done in the past? How does that help us at all? It doesn't help us. In fact, it's sapping the energy we need now. We need to have that energy now, and we're sapping. We're getting drained. Right? When we agree that, you know, the enemy will bring us thought after thought after thought. Why did you do that? Why did you do it? Oh, and if we say with our mouth then, why, if I only, and you tell somebody around you, whether it's your friend or your spouse, why did I do that? And I should have. And why, how, and you go over it. What is that doing? It's escalating the situation in our head. It's making it worse. It's talking about it. It is ingraining that we messed up. But what is it going to do for us? All it's going to do is make that thing have a bigger impact in our memory, in our emotional state. Instead of it being something that, yes, I missed it, I get up, believe God, and we're not talking about sin, we covered that, but we just missed it. There's nothing to repent over. It's just we blew it. It's tempting to want to like repent or say something because it's like you want to do something, but you can't do anything about it. You missed it. You did something dumb. At least maybe you learned something, maybe you didn't. Maybe you already knew, and that's sometimes the most painful. You knew better, you shouldn't have, and you pick up the pieces. But rehearsing it, saying it, that just sticks you right in that position. And that's what we don't want to do. We need to know some things. We need to say what God says about us right there. Let's look at, well, since we're in Philippians, go back to chapter 1, verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3, Philippians 1, verse 3, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now, being confident of this very thing, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He who has what? Begun a good work in you will complete it. You know what that means? We haven't arrived. Just like what Paul just said, we haven't arrived. We're not perfect, but he's begun something in us. And if the mistake we made is because we're not mature, we're not quite where we want to be in an area, thank God we're not done yet. Saw a shirt when I was growing up. It said, God's not done with me yet. Thank God he's not done with us. And sometimes when we blow it, it is so tempting to say, and see, here's where the rubber meets the road. What do we say about our failure? Do we identify with the failure, or do we identify with Jesus and his victory? Do we say, because this is, when we're used to saying it, this is what can start coming out of our mouth. I always do that type of stuff. I mean, I get going for a while, and then, boom, I did this. Why did I do that? I mean, it was going well. And you start talking about how good the day was going. And there was this, and there was this. And then I did this, and then it was wrong. And then it blew. What are we identifying? We're saying no matter what happens, it's going to be messed up. That's saying the wrong thing. That's identifying with failure. That will build failure consciousness and condemnation into us. And that's not what the Word says. Why don't you go ahead and turn over to Romans 8. Romans 8. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus. Romans 8, verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28. It says, and we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We know that all things work together for what? For good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We're going to read a few more scriptures here. What we need to do, what needs to be in our mouth, this is faith. We need to know what the Word says, and then now we need to release it. When we blow it, we need to know what to say. We don't identify with the fact that we blew it. We need to start saying, this is going to work out anyway. I don't care if I did miss it. I don't care if I did make a mistake. I'm going to win anyway. I'm going to win anyway. I'm going to overcome anyway. Yeah, I blew it, but God's bigger. Because if we start saying, yeah, I was doing real well, but why did I do that? And that what we're saying is that I am going to mess it up no matter what. God can put me in a place, I'm still going to mess it up. That's the wrong confession. That will put defeat into us. And if we talk like that, we need to turn it around and start saying, in the midst of if you have to do it through gritted teeth, that we want to say something else, we say, this is going to work out for my good and his glory. Now, we're not saying we ought to make mistakes. We needed that mistake. It's that, we need that mistake for God to do something with it. We say, in spite of that, God can do something with it. In spite of it, he can bring me over. I said, in spite of it, he can bring me over. Is he big enough?
Yes.
Is he big enough? And somebody said, well, he's big enough, but I don't know if he cares. Let's turn over to 1 John. Actually, we're in Romans. Go back to Romans 5 before you go to 1 John. Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 6. Romans 5, verse 6. It says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." When we were still sinners, what did we do for Him when we were still sinners? The answer is nothing. Yet He died for us. And the Bible said, if we're going to take the Bible, see, we're talking about faith and releasing faith. We need to believe what the Bible says, because when you blow it, your flesh and maybe your mind is screaming at you, potentially, depending on where we're coming from, that we are going to fail. And that God doesn't love us, and I don't care what the Bible says, I've still messed up and I'm still going to focus on this. And we need to have faith and say, God loves me, He's going to bring me over, it's working out, I don't care, I'm focusing on this. And your mind can say, He doesn't love you. Why are you in this position? And this stuff always happens. And we need to go right back in the face with the Word and say it. If we'll say it in the middle, because sometimes your mind is going so fast that we need to stop. We need to have something to break that cycle. Speaking it out. No, I am going to go over. God does love me. Write these scriptures down. Just print them out. And just if you have to read them out loud, just say, no, God demonstrated His own love toward me. When I was yet a sinner, He died for me. That means He loves me now. And He loves me, and I'm going over. He is there for me. He's going to bring me over. Now go over to 1 John. 1 John 4. We need to have our store of ammunition full. These scriptures are like ammunition for different areas that we need to be able, we need to release it when we are under pressure. We need to speak out what the Word says and agree with it. That's how you fight the good fight of faith. Stay in faith when we're under pressure. 1 John 4, verse 17, it says, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have," what? "Boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love." You know, when we make a mistake, I know it's just the remorse of it, but let me ask you a question. If you made a mistake and you knew that it could be fixed immediately, why would you get upset about it? Think about it. You could make a mistake, you know, let's say you had cereal at the table, and I mean, you knocked over the box of cereal, no milk, nothing, and just some of the cereal went out onto the table, just a little bit. Now, most of us are not going to get super excited about that unless somehow that cereal messed up something else. But I'm talking about, you're just on your kitchen table, let's say it's wood, let's say it's, you know, made of something else. You know, a small box of cereal just barely tipped over and barely a few little bits of cereal dribbled onto your table. Now, even that scenario, most people, most of us, that's not going to cause us to fly off the handle. Because why? I lost, like, you know, 10 or 20 pieces of cereal. I throw it away and I have cereal. And I got cereal in my cupboard. And this is not a big deal. It can be easily fixed, right? But you just made a mistake. You hit it. You made a mistake. But you know this is easily fixable. Therefore, you're not upset. But, again, you drop an $800 phone or something. You know, that you just got 2 days ago. Same thing. Your hand slipped. You broke something. But, you know, let me ask you a question. If you were in an area where, let's say, you're working or you're this is hypothetical, okay? But let's say you're in the business and you have 100 of the same phones at home. Now, let me ask you a question. And you dropped one and it broke. Do you care as much? Does it bother you like it would if it was? What is it about that thing, about that mistake, that bothers us most of the time? It's because of what am I going to have to live with and how am I going to get past it? And the bigger we perceive the consequences, the more we are tempted to say, to stick there, because how am I going to recover from this? Right? But what is that a form of? It's fear. You're worried about what's going to happen. Because if you already know the answer, I mean, think about, it could be your car. You back your car into the garage or something. But if you have a fleet of 100 cars and you own a mechanic shop or whatever, and it's just in, you know, you're a multi-billionaire or whatever, it doesn't, there's some threshold where whatever it is doesn't matter. You know, what if somebody died? Well, what, you know, Jesus saw people die, but there were people that got raised from the dead. At some point, if we believe God, I mean, even if the worst thing on this earth happened, that we would think there's just, how could you be happy? That how could you recover? This world isn't forever. It's all how we look at it and what we're going to do with it at this point. And even in situations where we would say, how could you get past that? If we believe God and believe He loves us and believe that we're going to come over, we can still say the right thing. Now, if we scale it back, it's probably not the worst thing. Just back to the stuff that actually messes us up and trips us up in life. If we can apply that and start saying the right thing, say what God says. Say out of our mouth, we missed it, we blew it. It is something that stung, but we say, I'm coming over. That's all right. That's not that a big a deal. And God loves me, and thank God, and we can start listing the things that we are thankful for. Start rejoicing out of our mouth. Start speaking the word. See what it says here. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. Well, isn't that what's going on when we're upset? What, is there any good that's coming? Aren't we just tormenting ourselves? Why did you do it? Why did you do it? Oh, I only wish, but we can't do anything about it, but we'll go through and why didn't I just stay home? Why didn't I just not turn left? What, you know, why did I take that thing out of the case? What is that? You even heard somebody, stop tormenting yourself, right? Get over it, forget. Forgive yourself. For what? Being human, you messed up. You didn't. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. God, you have this. God, we're going to come over. We'll get over it. Yeah, that hurts, but you know what? We'll get a new one. You know what? I'll never do that again. I know that. I learned this is not what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. You know, we can trust Him. All right, let's read a few more scriptures. We'll wrap this up. Praise God. Let's look at Galatians. Galatians 2, verse 20. Galatians 2, verse 20. The quicker we just get into... Let me ask you a question. I mean, so most things, sometimes people beat themselves over for stuff over, they beat themselves up for years over something. But the quicker, a lot of times what we'll do, we make a mistake. We beat ourselves up for a while or just rehearse it until we already know this, but we get to the point where this is not doing any good. And so we move on. The quicker we can just get to that point and say, you know what? Yes, it stings, but I'm going on. Thank you, Lord. And go into that mode. We just saved ourselves a bunch of time and anguish and strength, and we just move on. Not easy, but the quicker we can do that, look at all the time we free up. Galatians 2, verse 20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, or by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, I live this life by faith in the Son of God. I'm going to live my life by faith in Jesus. He loves me. He gave himself for me, and I'm going to live that way. And I'm going to go over, and I'm going to believe, even if I made a mistake, Jesus, the Son of God, was crucified for me. He loves me. He proved it, and he'll make a way. He'll help me. And saying that, speaking it out, meditating on that in the face of a failure is going to help us. First Corinthians, let's just put these on the screen. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. It says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the victory. See, right when we miss it, we need to say, no, I'm still going to win. I'm not going to identify with the fact that I missed. I'm going to identify. See, that's not going to stop me. We say, no matter what, I'm winning. That's not going to stop me. That's not going to stop me. That's not going to stop me. If we're in a bad confession mode, we'll say, oh, I was doing pretty good, but then this happens. This always happens. What are we doing? We're identifying with failure. And we're supposed to live according, Jesus does not lose. And we need to start saying, he loves me, therefore, I'm still coming over. He'll replace it. They make more every day. One more. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14 says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. We could say, Lord, you're leading me in triumph. I know I just blew it, but I'm still coming over. I will win. Speaking, that's faith. Speaking faith out. Glory to God.